talk about something that's really been on my heart for years now. It's just something that really moves me every time I think about it, because it's almost like a personal experience for me. Sometimes, you know, we're dependent upon stuff externally to get us to a place where we need to be internally. And we depend on conferences, or we'll depend on this next great message or this next great worship seminar. We're depending on something to get us to a level which I think God wants to do in us by our own hunger and desire, not necessarily by someone giving us something from the outside. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Acts chapter 9. I want to talk to you about a power encounter, because every one of us, we need an empower encounter with God. I don't care how holy you may be. I don't care how intellectual you may be. I don't care where you think you are in God. I think all of us need at some point in our lives to have an encounter with God that changes us. We need to see him, and we need to know what he sees in us. We need to see him in such a way that everything we do is no longer dictated by what we're facing outside. Our circumstances is no longer dictated to us by what people say, but now our whole lives are driven by God. And I think we need to come to that place when we see him, when he shows himself to us in a way that it changes our perspective. It changes the way we view people. It changes the way we view circumstances and situations in the lives of people near us, when we see what God sees. And I think God wants to bring into our relationship, to meet us in a way that brings us really to our knees. Yes? Yeah. Because, you know, we've been brought up in a society where we've got to claim our rights, and we've got to take what belongs to us, and we have to. But, you know, I believe God wants to get us to this place, this ground of submission, this ground of realizing who he really is, because we have a lot of talk today about we need to recognize who we are in God. But I believe we need to recognize who God is in us. Because he's not just some other God. He's God. If he meets our need, if he does what I'd ask him to do, if he moves in my life the way I desire him to move, even if he doesn't, he's still God. That doesn't change who he is. He's God anyway. Whether he blesses me or not, that doesn't change him. He's still God. The thing I've been crying out all year for, or all of my life, if he never meets the need, that's still not determine who he, that doesn't determine who he is. Because he's God. And he's sovereign. But we have to come to an understanding that because he's sovereign, he makes the choices, we don't. Yeah. I know sometimes, you know, when I was growing up in my mother's house, I used to think I made the choices. All I had to do was cry real loud, and she would make the choice to do what I'm asking her to do. But I learned quickly that Miss Helen Williams didn't work like that. She didn't work like that. Just because I cried real loud and I made a big fuss, Mrs. Helen Williams knew how to get my attention and bring me back into line with what she was thinking. Yeah, she had a way of doing that, you know. My younger brother will be here in a few weeks, and he'll tell you the same thing. She had a way of bringing us back into line, and you know, we would make all kinds of noise and say, this isn't fair, that isn't fair. And Mrs. Helen Williams would just give us a look, and we would say, okay, I'm sorry. God has a way of doing the same thing. No matter how we think we deserve something, no matter how we think, you know, because things get tough for us and we say, God, this isn't fair. Why isn't it fair? He knows what you need and why you need it. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Even Jesus, the Bible said, had to learn obedience through the things that he suffered. But afterwards, beloved, when he died, he did rise. The thing is, and the key is, to submit ourselves to whatever it is God's doing in our lives, and you can rest assured there is going to be a victory on the other side of the pain. And that's not what I really want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about a power encounter. So if you have your Bibles in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, we're going to begin. I'm not going to be long, and I probably won't be long at all, but I just want to bring a couple of thoughts to you to help us understand some things concerning God. Because in the Christian faith, what in modern day times, we've come to this conclusion that God is here to do what we want him to do. And that is not the case. God is here to do what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I was telling you about Miss Helen Williams. I was hoping she was going to come for my daughter's wedding because she can tell you some stories. She can tell you some stories because she has 5 children. My oldest sister is 67, and my older brother, he's 64. I'm 61. My younger brother, who will be here in a few weeks, is 55. And then my youngest, our sister, is 50. And so she had a big challenge in her household because we're all strong-willed people. We all are determined to do what we want to do. But she had a way of getting us to get in line. And it's called, go get me that switch. And you choose what you're going to get today. And she knew how to bring us in line with that switch. I used to come back, I think I told you all this before, I used to come back with the littlest switch I could find, Rob. It was like a twig. And I come back and give it to my mom and say, here you go, mom, beat me to death, I don't care. And my mom would laugh and she says, I think you're funny, Vince, but that's not going to get you out of this. I have to teach you a lesson. I have to get you to a place where you understand what I'm trying to do. Because if you don't know us by now, but your parents, whoever, your parents, mother, and you as parents, we have one desire, to set our children will grow up to be people who are productive and God-fearing. There's a lot of conversation in Christianity about God's love, and it's from a different perspective that's not actually the perspective God tries to bring. We only see love from one perspective, that's the gentleness and the loving and the touching and the caressing. But there's also the discipline aspect of love. Because without the discipline aspect of love, we lose balance and we become things that he never intended us to be. And so God has to discipline us to bring us in line with what his plan and his form is. And so I tried to realize and say, God, how are you doing this? And I came to this text. Acts chapter 9. Y'all don't mind if I just talk to you a little bit. I'm not going to be long, I hope. I always say that, but I end up, for some reason or another, I guess that's just preacher's license or something like that. Just like to talk. Ain't that right, Joel? Acts 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that it would be found in anywhere of the way, whether then men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Isn't it hard? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what do you do? What do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And when he journeyed with them, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and he to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight. That's a good straight street to be on, isn't it? Straight street. God wants to get some of us on straight street today. And he said, arise and go in into the city, in the street called Straight, and inquire at a house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Listen, here is Saul. He's killing folks for the name of Jesus, for God, rather. And he's going around through towns, tracking down Christians and killing them. And now God tells Ananias, I want you to go talk to this man. Can you imagine the reaction of Ananias? The scripture says it, and it puts it in a very light way. But he says, I want you to go see this man who's killing folks. And Ananias said, no, God, I can't. No, wait a minute. This guy's killing folks, and you want me to go talk to him? Yes, I do. I can't do that. I might die. I wanted you to see the gravity of what's being he's being challenged with. He is being challenged to go deal with a person who's killing people like him. The possibility of his death is imminent. So what he feels God is asking him to do is to walk into death. See, this is when we know how much we love Jesus and how much we are just on the surface of loving him. Because here is a man who's being told, I want you to die. I want you to walk into certain death. And he says, God, I don't know if I could do that. And he says, this is a challenge for me, because sometimes we have an opinion about people. And the people we have an opinion about, God goes tells us to go and deal with those very same people. Challenging, isn't it? I have a person at a church, another church that we pastor. God has challenged me. But you know how, you know, y'all know I used to do that violent thing. And there was a time where I really wanted to. You know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying. You know, sometimes people, you know, get on your last nerve. They get on you in such a way that you're saying, God, I tell you, I repent now for what I'm about to do. You know something's about to happen, and you just want God to forgive you before you do it. There are people who are like that. But here's Ananias going to somebody, asked by God to do something that he doesn't want to do. But he does it. And this is why he does it. God says this to him. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to hear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, one thing we all must need to know, before we have an opinion about a situation or a person, we've got to know what they got to deal with in life before we have a particular opinion about them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because it's easy for me to have an opinion about Brother Marlon, but yet I don't know what's happening or he's dealing with it. Come on, somebody. Really easy. Really easy for me to have an opinion about Brother Kevin, but I don't know what he's dealing with in life, and I don't know what the challenges he are going through on a day-to-day basis. And then God wants to reveal something to us concerning one another, that it's not just about us, it's all of us, and we need each and every one of us to get through every day. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I need somebody to come speak life to me like Ananias is about to speak to Saul. I need somebody to remove the blinders from my eyes like Ananias is about to do with Saul. We should never think that we've all got it together and we don't need anybody else, because we need all of us. Real easy for me to have an opinion about something and not know the whole deal. Because I know I have opinion. Y'all just don't hear me when I'm talking to Miss Lisa. She could tell you, man, I tell you what, I wish, you see, I'm being real with you. Not many of us would be real ministers. You know, we like to pretend that we got it together. You know how we are. I'm blessed of God. We want to pretend that it's all together, but the fact of the matter is, none of us got it all together. And for me to stand up in and pretend that it's all together is wrong. That is not a real reflection of who Jesus is. He wants us to be who we are. Listen, if I don't tell you my weaknesses, how will you ever get hope to go beyond yours? Amen. And so here's Ananias doing exactly that. But God tells him, don't worry, I've chosen him. I want you to see what he's going to go through for the people of God. And so let me keep reading verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, you know Ananias' opinion has changed now, because he calls him Brother Saul. You can tell when somebody's opinion of you changes is the way they talk to you. It changes by the way they speak to you and the way they deal with you. Their opinion about you changes. Mm-hmm. See, I've talked to some people before who came to church. And they were struggling, people who had struggling with substance abuse. And this is at Biggles Wade. And this young man said to me, he said, you don't understand what I'm going through. He said that to me. He said, you don't understand what I'm going through. I'm going through a tough time, and I want to be free, but I'm struggling. I said, let me tell you something, bro. I struggled like that, too. He said, no, you a goody two-shoes. You always been good. I said, bro, you don't know me. I needed help. I struggled with substances, but God delivered me. And so I want to give you hope that he can deliver you, too. You need to be a testimony of life for somebody else. Instead of criticism and discouragement. You know, I grew up in a church where there was no blessing or encouragement. There was just always criticism. Boy, why are you chewing that gum in church? Oh, sorry. And in fact, my dad would be preaching, and I sat down on the front row with my gum going. My dad was preaching, and in mid-sentence, my dad used to hoop, you know. Well, yeah, I'm going over there. And in the middle of the hoop, he ran up to me, and he said, boy, you got gum in your mouth. Everybody's eyes in the church. We need encouragement. We need people to... I was going to talk about being an encouragement to one another, because the fact of the matter is, if you encourage me and I encourage you, you will help each of us. We will help each other to get to the next step that God intends for us to go. Amen. I don't know about you, but life gives you kickbacks and knockbacks, and I don't need nobody to help me get beat down. My flesh and the enemy do enough of that. I need somebody that's going to help me and propel me to the next level in God, to encourage me to keep going. I need an Ananias to come alongside me and speak life into me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't need none of that stuff, man. None of that. I mean, I do tell back years ago when we first came here, this church is very, very religious. Many, many years ago when I first got saved. The only person in here will know about that is Sister Mary sitting right there, because she was here when I first got saved. And there's family members back here in the back who were not quite born yet. You weren't even a twinkle in mom, dad's eye yet, Sarah. but we used to be very religious, and if I think you were a toddler. I don't even think you were a toddler yet. You were probably, you had a little dummy in your mouth. I remember specifically on that Sunday, Robert had this little dummy, a little blanket. You know, he had his little blanket and his little dummy. I remember that. But I remember the specific day that was stated that the reason why we aren't seeing revival is none of the women are wearing hats. Really? All we have to do is fit something on the outside and that'll make a difference on the inside? See, what Ananias is about to do with Paul and what God is about to do with Paul had nothing to do with the externals and everything to do with the internals. And God's not concerned about how you look or how you say it or how you phrase it. He's worried about what's inside your heart when you begin to do it. And God wants to change. Listen, beloved, if you don't understand what the gospel is all about, understand this. The gospel is about your heart. It is about the change of your heart from evil to good by the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen in this house. He wants to change your heart. He doesn't care about how it looks on the outside. He's concerned about how it looks on the inside. And that's what God wants to get to. And so here he is. I don't know if I read it all yet, but let me finish. I just realized I'm just going to have to cut this in half because I spent too much time talking. That's something else, isn't it? When you're not feeling good and you come up and you think, I'm just going to talk, I don't feel good. And then all of a sudden, what'd you say? Julie said to me, yeah, you don't feel good now. Well, wait till you start talking. Something's going to happen when you start talking. And I already sense the atmosphere changing here. Because God wants to do something in our hearts this morning. He wants to change our hearts, beloved. And so, let me get there. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, laying hands on, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. Can I just say that? We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you have never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you need him. You need his power. You need his revelation. You need, the Bible says he has come, Jesus said he came not to talk about himself, he came to talk about me. If you want to know and learn more of Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit active in your life. You need him. He said, verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received the sight once he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed. And says, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem? Has he come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwell at Damascus, proving that his Jesus was the Christ. Now listen, I was going to share a lot more, but I think I spent a lot of time just doing too much talking. So I just want to talk to you about this one quick thing here. The first thing that the apostle experienced was this great shining light. And this light knocked him off of his horse and knocked him into the dirt. He cried out, who are you? Who is this? Can I just say that the reason why we all need a power encounter with God is because accompanying that power encounter comes a revelation. It comes a revelation of who Jesus really is. Now, I'm not going to say that every one of us has the full revelation of who Jesus is, because we don't. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth. We're not all there yet. And your opinion or your view of God is different from mine based on the experiences that you've had. And so what God wants to do is bring a revelation of him by light. By light. And it's important that we get a revelation by light, because remember some weeks ago I talked to you about the roaches of New York City. And I talk to you that when it's dark and the light comes on, I mean, these cockroaches in New York City are huge. But and you can hear them in the dark. They're flittering around, running around everywhere. You can hear them. See, I grew up, I don't know about you, but I grew up in New York City and I grew up with roaches. You can hear them running around. But when the light comes on, they scatter. It's the same thing with us. That's why we need to live in the constant gaze of the light. Because whatever stuff that is in us, it will scatter the moment the light comes. But that's why the light has to shine everywhere, because we just don't want the stuff to hide. You hearing me? Because we could hide, can't we? You know, we could hide feelings. We could hide attitudes. But when the light is shining, there's no more hiding. And so we need that revelation by word to come and show it on us. You know, I remember they said in New York City, the roaches are so bad that they're so bad that they pull switchblades on the rats and they take the rats' cheese. Because these are some tough cockroaches. They don't joke. They don't play. I've seen them. They even tried to, you know, sometimes they, I mean, these are big things, man. These cockroaches, you know, they like that. They're scary, man. And so I felt sorry for the rats. Too bad. So we need that light. Now, I think we always consider grace to be the thing that allows us to keep doing what's wrong. He's gracious, so he won't judge me. So he'll be gracious to me. But have you ever thought about grace being the thing that won't allow you to keep doing what's wrong? See, his grace doesn't just come to you to make you feel good. It comes to you to make you be good in the way he intends for you to be. So he shines light on your stuff so that you keep trying to scatter or run and you begin to yield. It's important that we yield to the light. See, the light, I'm sorry, Joel, the light is not there to hurt you. It's there to help you. His word, his revelation doesn't come to destroy you. It comes to strengthen you. But he can't strengthen you if you hold on to the stuff that's not good for you. Yeah? I'm trying to go back to the gym because I am. Derek's not here. But I was supposed to go back with Derek. Back to the gym. I was supposed to, Claire. I made the promise. I was going back. And Derek said, "What happened?" I made an excuse. I ran. Because the light of my condition of where I wanted to be or where I was some 4 or 5 months ago, 6 months ago before I had that issue, you know, I was getting there. Wasn't I, Joe? Come on, wasn't I? Come on, make me feel good, brother. I was getting there. Everything was growing. My stamina was getting up and I felt good. But now that I had to go through that process and I'm back to where I am right now, the light of that embarrassed me or did not make me feel good to want to do what's necessary. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? To get back to where I should be. The light doesn't come to stop you or prohibit you. It comes to encourage you, to lift you up to the place that God intends for your life. So he brings revelation of who he is. How many of you know that some of us know him as a healer? Some of us know him as a baptizer. Some of us know him as a deliverer. So what God is doing by his light, and he's brought revelation to each of us, is for we bring all of our stuff together. And we speak to one another. I need somebody who knows him as a deliverer to talk to me. I need somebody who knows him as a healer to talk to me. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Ananias knew him, and Paul needed to hear from him what God had for him. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I'm making it clear or not, but that's what I believe. I mean, now I can talk about him as a healer because y'all know what my circumstances were with my heart. Yeah. Sister Cheryl said, the night before I went to my appointment at Patworth the day before. She said, God, I pray the doctors will find nothing. I'm laying on the procedure table. What does the doctor say to me? Mr. Williams, I'm perplexed. We can't find anything. Come on. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a savior, and he is also a baptizer. And today, I pray by the grace of God, some of you will receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost with fire. Oh. Okay, here, I'm almost done. So we need revelation from the light. Theologians say this light was lightning, but it wasn't lightning. It was a sudden revelation of Jesus. A sudden. So it shook Paul up because it came suddenly. I prophesy with somebody in this place. You about to get a sudden revelation of Jesus. That's going to change your life forever. He's going to show himself to you in a way you never thought of him before. And it's going to change the way you see this world. Amen? Okay, now I'm going to, the second thing, very quickly. We've got to get to Straight Street. Straight Street. This is a place where we become aligned with Jesus. Now, Straight Street is a street in Damascus that went across the whole of the city from east to west. And the street was straight. And the difference between the other streets is that this was the only straight street. All the rest of the streets meandered. This street was straight from east to west for 3 miles. Can I speak to somebody in here? You've been meandering in your relationship with God. You've been walking around here and walking around there. God wants to put you on Straight Street so that your whole focus is Him. And you're not meandering here and there, but you're focused and you're walking towards Him. And you're walking with an intentional purpose to get to Him. And that's what God is going to do. And He's doing that to somebody right now. I sense it in the Holy Ghost. You are no longer going to meander, but you're going to walk straight on Straight Street. Oh yeah, no more meandering. And this is the thing. He said, you know, meanderers, people who meander, He knows where we are, because we all have done it. We all been there. And there are times in our lives, and probably will be times again, when we do it again. But His whole purpose for us to walk is to walk on Straight Street. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? The seven sons of this priest called Sceva. See, when you're walking straight, you're not walking on Straight Street. You're not walking or serving based on an information about Jesus. But you're walking because it's Jesus is your life on Straight Street. The seven sons of Sceva, they had a knowledge, and their life was about a knowledge in Jesus. Remember the seven sons of Sceva, they came to this dude, and this guy was demon-possessed, and they said to him, I adjure you in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And that spirit said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I heard about, but who are you? You see, when we're meandering and we're not walking straight, we're not having any impact or making up any ground. And no matter what we do against the kingdom of darkness, it has no effect because it's not coming from a place of revelation, it's just coming from a place of knowledge. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge, but my point is, knowledge alone does not make you strong inside. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So here we go. Could you imagine what that scene must have been like? The Bible says they got beat up, tore all their clothes off. Could you imagine what that scene must have been like? They walk out there like they bad, you know. I enjoy you. Well, let me see if I can get my best Clint Eastwood voice. Hey, I enjoy you in the name of Jesus. When Paul preaches. and they got beat down. And sometimes we're getting beat up by situations and circumstances. And it's God trying to get you back on straight street. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Okay. I'm almost done, and I am. Thirdly and finally, the Bible says when Ananias talked to him, the Bible says that, and he prayed for him, the scales fell off of his eyes. Scales, they fell. So in other words, when he got hit by that lion, he saw the revelation of Jesus. It blinded him. For 3 days, he was blind. And the reason why he was blind is because God was trying to get rid of the vision from his past. God was getting rid of what he used to see, and now he's going to bring him something new to see. I like that. We got to get rid of what we used to see, because God's bringing us something new to see. Isn't that good? Can we make a wrap out of that, bro? Can we do that? God's bringing us something new to see. I'm getting rid of the stuff we used to see. Change the way you look. That's the hook. Change the way you look. That's the hook, V. You can get that, V, right, V? But he's given us, he delights the vision. It dropped off of his face. So he was used to seeing things in a certain way. In our previous life, in our sinful life, we are used to seeing things in a particular way. And because we see things in a particular way, sometimes we do damage unnecessarily because we react and we function based on what we see. See, so Paul, or Saul, he killed a lot of folks because he was seeing the wrong way. And so now what he's teaching him, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to take those scales off, and now I'm going to teach you and enable you to see in a way you couldn't see before. It's a spiritual vision. I call it x-ray vision. See? Because God wants us to be people. When we see people, we just don't see what's out here. We see what's in here. He wants us to be able, not so that we can look at him and say, I see you. I see your stuff. Oh, Noah, you got some stuff, bruh. I see it all down in you. All up in there. But no, he wants us to be able to see so we can, remember what he said in Luke? So when we move the log out of our own eye, then we'll have the ability to see, to take the splinter. So I look at Joe, and I don't look at him out here, but I see inside. And now I can speak to the thing inside to strengthen him inside, because I see the need. I don't pay attention to the outward stuff, because Joe tough anyway. See, Joe got guns. And see, you could be put off by them guns. You could say, oh, I'm not messing with this dude, because he got the ability to put them tarantulas around my neck. But you look past that, and you can see what God wants you to see. And so you can speak to the thing that he needs, not to what you're afraid of. See, the thing is about the revelation that Paul had, is now he was killing folks, but now he's going to bring life, and he's not fearing anybody, because the person he encountered on the road of Damascus was more fearful, more powerful, more greater than anything or anybody he ever experienced. And what God wants us to experience in him is his glory in that way, is his majesty in that way. So no matter who we encounter in this world, we won't be afraid to tell him the truth. But we won't kill him in the process. Because sometimes we need to know the truth. He don't want us to be the people who are doing wrong. Oh, it's going to be okay. It's going, God loves you. Yeah. He loves you, and you're afraid to tell them the truth. They end up in a situation they don't need to be in, because you are afraid to tell them what the real deal is. I'm hearing what I'm trying to say. I'm glad that there was this guy many years ago. This dude used to be here many years ago. You remember Brad? Big, tall Brad? He was 6'5". You remember Brad, right? Brad was 6'5". He was one of the pastors here with me when I first took over from Montana. Cowboy. 6'5". And Brad was one of these guys that could look at you and look right through you. He look at you and you can say what you want, but he knows what he sees. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Brad, I sat down and I said something, and I was saying something, and in my head I was saying something. Brad came and sat next to me, and he said, and he didn't say, God wants you to know. You know, we get to that thing, you know what I'm saying. God wants you to know. No. He just sat there and he said, we don't have to be like that, Brother Vince. You know, because if we keep being like that, you know, we are going to have to give an account for that thing. And he spoke to me like that. And all I did was buckle. And I heard it and I received it. We need people who are going to tell us the truth. But more than that, we need to be people who will receive the truth. You know how we are. I don't receive that, brother. You know, y'all know what I'm saying, right? I need to tell you something. No, bro, I don't receive that. That ain't a positive thing from God. If God talks to me, he talks to me in positive ways. I need positivity. Positively positive. All the positively positive things I can get, I want them to be all positive. So when somebody says something, you proceed to be negative, you drop it, even though it's the truth. I wonder what Paul would have happened with Paul. And in fact, I wonder what would happen to the New Testament church if Paul had said to Ananias then, no, I don't receive that, brother. And of Jesus, because sometimes when people are speaking to us, it is God, it is Jesus speaking through them to us. And we can easily say, no, I don't receive that. And now here's Jesus coming and speaking to him and knocks him to the ground. He could have been stubborn hearted enough to say, I think you are the devil. Where would that have put us? Where would that have put the New Testament church? Can I tell you, some of our decisions don't only affect us, but they affect everybody else that's around us. And we need to make the decisions that come, that are convictions from God, that convict us to our heart, and that come from revelation of who Jesus is. Then we need to go ahead and step. Are you with me? Okay, I am done. Some of y'all like, I see you smiling, and I'm glad now. Yeah. We need to make decisions based on spiritual vision, not by our flesh. And God wants to give us a revelation of himself. So what we do, how we live, what we say is governed by that revelation, not our feelings. He doesn't want us to live by feelings, because we don't live by sight, but by. We don't live by sight. We don't go by sight. We go by faith. And faith is always something that we can't see in the natural. We only can see in the spiritual. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let's just stand together. Father, I ask you that